This is a summary of Edge of Chaos by bestbookbriefings.com. Edge of Chaos. Why Democracy is Failing to Deliver Economic Growth and How to Fix It. By Dombey Samoyo. The imperative is growth. When economic growth wanes, everyone suffers. Stagnation exacerbates numerous social, health, environmental, and political problems. The essence of culture, community, and people's expectations about their lives become dimmer, coarser, and smaller in the absence of growth. Viewed through the prism of economics, growth is a function of three key factors: capital, how much money an economy has invested minus deficits and debts; labor, measurable in terms of both quality and quantity; and total factor productivity, a catch-all of other factors that affect economic growth beyond capital and labor, including innovation, technology, political systems, laws, and regulations. The amount of money produced by an economy, its GDP, has become the most revealing and relevant measure of goods and services produced. In spite of its limitations, there is no better modern-day method for aggregating and comparing a country's economic progress against other countries than GDP. Understanding why some nations grow and others don't holds the key to creating growth in the future. History shows the winners in the growth race were led by long-term thinkers with an appetite for risk-taking and investment. The policies of the losers were easily swayed by short-termism, complacent in the belief that the prevailing conditions today would continue well into the future. This stance has proved foolhardy in the past and risks tomorrow's economic future. Hurricane headwinds. There are seven hurricane-strength forces barreling down on the global economy. When it comes to capital, these headwinds include high levels of debt, natural resource scarcity, and misallocation of capital. Today, with global growth relatively stagnant, countries are piling up debt at a faster rate than their economies can expand. Even if economists can define a threshold above which debt becomes a problem for economic growth, policymakers struggle to enforce it, particularly during times of economic stress such as the 2008 financial crisis. Natural resources are part of the assets or capital endowment of a country. However, the combination of greater global demand and a shrinking supply of commodities poses a dire threat to global economic growth. Therefore, capital is constrained by high, unsustainable indebtedness and scarce natural resources. One of the three pillars of growth is thus undermined in two different pernicious ways. Simultaneously, the labor market, the second key driver of GDP growth, faces its own headwinds. We are moving into a world inhabited by fewer and fewer workers who can actively and productively contribute to economic growth. Global life expectancy is expected to rise to 75 years by 2045. This trend brings mounting health care and unfunded pension costs that act as a drag on economic growth. The less productive and more expensive to maintain this growing population becomes, the greater the burden it will place on the economy. A country populated by fewer and fewer young and able-bodied workers will inevitably face the prospect of labor shortages, lower productivity, and slowed economic growth. It's not just that the workforce is dwindling in quantity. An issue of quality is also emerging as a further drag on global growth. Decades of underinvestment in quality education have churned out a working-age population ill-equipped to work or contribute effectively to the modern economy. Alongside capital and labor, the third factor that drives economic growth, total factor productivity, is held back by three headwinds: the role of new technology in the creation of an unemployed underclass, growing income inequality, and declining pure productivity, which is to say declining output per worker. Rapid advances in digital computation, telecommunication, robotics, and artificial intelligence make it increasingly practical for blue-collar and manual labor jobs to be replaced by robots. For every gadget that enables us to process data and information faster and more cheaply, there is a burgeoning social and public policy challenge of rising unemployment that has dire consequences for growth. Worsening income inequality has pernicious effects, which are felt by a society as a whole. The fact that some in society are unable to escape economic hardship and poverty, face falling educational attainment, and feel left behind by fellow citizens who appear to be progressing economically leads to disaffection, mistrust in the system, loss of faith in leadership, and potential social and political instability. Moreover, global productivity has been on the decline over the past decade. Fixing the collapse in productivity is a puzzle for the economic profession, as there seems to be a disagreement to whether productivity is actually in decline. Each headwind is a major challenge in itself. Together, they threaten to unravel globalization, raising rates of poverty while reducing living standards. Overcoming them requires a far-sighted approach that efficiently allocates resources over a long-term horizon, rather than our current short-term approach. The false promise of protectionism. Much of the criticism leveled against globalization today is related to the idea that it enriches the few, leaving the many behind. While politicians have been advocating open-door trade policies over the last several decades, trade and immigration policies with a more protectionist stance have prevailed over genuinely free trade. This diluted form of globalization failed to create equitable growth, permitted the economy to stagnate, and left politicians vulnerable to the millions of disaffected voters who blame globalization itself for their deteriorating circumstances. Rather than make the increasingly difficult case for globalization, the leaders of leading nations are pivoting toward greater isolationism, moving toward protecting local industries through higher trade tariffs and their labor markets, along with increased immigration control and attempts to boost domestic employment. Protectionism is on the rise, and it threatens longer-term economic prospects. Bad policy leads to the misallocation of scarce resources. Not only does this have a negative effect on GDP in the long term, but it kills off economic growth and foments political instability in the short term, further discouraging much-needed investment. Globalization makes markets more efficient, increases competition, and spreads wealth more equally around the world. Such is the promise of full globalization. But rather than reaching for this goal, global policymakers have been shifting globalization into reverse. They lead inexorably to deteriorating living standards and greater geopolitical unrest, a challenge to democracy's dominance. Across the world, more and more citizens believe democracy and capitalism need not be the answer. Many prefer the economic and political approach of China, a model of state capitalism in which the state steers production and the economy. Democracy is de-emphasized, at least in the short term, as economic rights supersede political rights. Several factors place Western economic models at a disadvantage in this scenario. First, China's model has gotten results. China has delivered record economic growth and made a significant dent in poverty. Second, China has shown that it is possible to meaningfully reduce income inequality without changing its economic or even political system. Third, China has delivered a now legendary infrastructure campaign. Finally, China is following through on providing innovative solutions to age-old social challenges. In this regard, the spread of the Western model should come from its appeal, not from strong-arming developing countries into falling in line. Leaders and citizens everywhere should feel that liberal systems will help solve their immediate economic problems. Rather than force people to embrace liberal democracy and free market capitalism, the way to get them to adopt it is to demonstrate that it can work, create growth, and end poverty in an equitable fashion. The perils of political myopia. The root cause of skepticism about democracy is the crux of the forces that have brought us to the edge of chaos. We have embedded in both business and the democratic political system a predilection for short-termism, and myopia in business, and especially in politics, is singularly detrimental to economic success, a key drag on the prospects of long-term economic growth. It is vital that policymakers and politicians act to address it before it grows still worse. Correcting just this one problem would do much to address virtually all of the specific challenges to economic growth that we confront today. To achieve sustainable economic growth, we need better quality decision-making by political and business leaders, as well as policy that prioritizes long-term prosperity over short-term political point scoring. Blueprint for a new democracy. Governments manage economies, and politicians make the laws and policies that fuel governments. That is why reform of the democratic system is absolutely necessary. There are 10 reforms intended to revive the quality of political decision-making. First, policymakers should bind their governments and their successors to policies. A key problem with government is time inconsistency, the fact that policies committed to and enacted by an incumbent are routinely unwound, thereby creating policy uncertainty, which in turn hurts investment and ultimately impedes economic growth. The second reform has to do with campaign finance. Democracies must implement restrictions on campaign contributions so as to reduce the disproportionate impact of wealthy voters in determining election and policy outcomes. Third, to improve the quality of lawmaking, office holders should be paid salaries competitive with those of private sector leaders, as well as performance bonuses. Fourth way to discourage short-term thinking is to alter electoral cycles, lengthening politicians' terms in office. The goal would be to better match political attention spans to longer-term economic challenges to match political cycles with the length of the business cycle. The extension of terms should be accompanied by the imposition of term limits, the fifth crucial reform to mature democracies. The sixth reform aims at filtering for quality so as to exclude those leaders who lack real-world experience, as well as upgrade the quality of those who occupy political office. The seventh reform is to ensure that elections are competitive and that candidates are responsive to voters with a wide range of political views. The eighth proposal is to address declining voter participation by making voting mandatory. And as a ninth reform, democracies must seek to educate voters regarding the impact of policy choices. Voters must be nudged toward the right long-term policy choices rather than being swayed by personalities and short-term fixes. The final reform is weighted voting, which will enhance the voting status of highly qualified individuals. Retooling for 21st century growth. All the easy choices are behind us. What is left is messy and hard, and proponents of reform are likely to be pilloried and vilified. Evolving to a new democratic structure will be challenging in the extreme, but reform will help ensure that Western democracies retain their position as economic leaders and credible vanguards of the democratic process. The world has been warned. The hope is a discussion ensues about how to restore growth to the global economy and sustain it so that we can all step back from the edge of chaos. Whether you prefer to read or listen, we have something for you. Visit bestbookbriefings.com now for more summaries.